John chapter 21, and let's read from verse 1 together. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Amen. This is indeed God's word to us this morning. We come to the end today of our short summer series considering the "Follow Me" sayings of Jesus. We've thought on the call of some of the disciples, Peter, who was called to give up fishing and to become a fisher of men. He was to go and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Nathanael was invited to come and to see, and we noted the simplicity of his friend inviting him to meet Jesus and recognized that we all can do that as well. Then there was Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, who was an unlikely candidate, but Jesus spoke to him and saved him. He was so excited he threw a party and invited his friends. And perhaps we have an opportunity too to celebrate our faith and invite others along. After the call of the disciples at first, we then looked at Jesus gathering the disciples and the crowds following around him and sharing with them the real need to take up their cross, to risk losing everything this world has to offer to gain what only Jesus can offer: forgiveness from sin and an eternity spent with him. And of course, last week, we thought on the rich young ruler who Jesus challenged to give it all up, to give up everything that held him back, to place Jesus first in his life. We all have choices to make in life. Thankfully, most of us here have already decided to follow Jesus. We've accepted the forgiveness he offers. We've turned from our sin and we've made him Lord of our lives. But some haven't done that yet. And maybe today is the call for you again to follow me. The real thrust of this last message, though, is the call and the encouragement to keep following. To keep following, not just to follow, but to keep on following. And to do that, we turn back to Peter, who, as you will remember, just 6 or 7 weeks ago, was the first person we looked at in this short series. Life has moved on for Peter. He's followed Jesus for close on 3 years. He's heard all the teaching. He's seen all of the miracles. He's declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he's gone on to deny Jesus in the garden. Jesus has been crucified. Now he's been raised to life again. And in the midst of all of that turmoil, we see this encounter today between Peter and between Jesus. And as we enter into that today and think on it, I simply want us to consider the turmoil, the struggles that we face at times in our life. And maybe, just maybe, today you're going through the mill yourself. And hopefully today we will see that encouragement that regardless of what happens, we are called to keep following. I want you to let your imaginations work with us this morning, just a little bit. I wonder if you would picture in your mind today the scene and the passage of Scripture before us. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We've left everything to follow him. Our families, our jobs, our safety nets. And now 3 years on, he's left us alone. He's been brutally executed. We are gathered in a room probably somewhat smaller than this, back in the place, for some of us anyway, where it all began those 3 short years ago on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. The group are despondent and they're downhearted. They're not sure what to do. And the conversation that comes could have gone something like this. What a week. I know what a rough time we've had. And it all started so well. Huge crowds, palm branches being waved, shouts and cries of Hosanna. Everyone seemed to like him. I know. But then there was his awful death. I couldn't bear to be there and to look. He's dead. I can't believe it. But remember, he's alive. I saw the holes where the nails and the spear had gone in. It's amazing. Yes. But he's gone. What are we to do? We gave up everything to follow. And now he's gone. And one person amongst us in the room, a fisherman by trade, turns and says, I've had enough of all this. I've had enough. I'm going out to fish. Are you coming with me? And so the men leave. And they walk that short distance to the shore. They get in their boat and they head out into the Sea of Galilee. I wonder if you can feel the despondence in the group. They're downhearted, they're sad, they're sorrowful. What of Peter? He must have felt so bad, had so many thoughts running through his mind. He had denied Jesus, he had let him down. He had stood by and watched him be sentenced to death. How could he have let him down? And here we find that it's Peter, fisherman, an impetuous man most of the time, who turns and says, I'm going fishing. Was he just heading out for some enjoyment? To pass some time? I don't think so. I think Peter is saying, I've had enough of all this and I'm going back to what I know. I'm going to return to my family, I'm going to return to my friends, I'm going to take up the job which I left those few short years ago. Had Peter learnt nothing during these 3 years? And so the story continues. They get in the boat, they head out to sea. Their hopes must have been high, but then so quickly shattered. This fisherman, these fishermen, caught nothing. Not even a tiny little goldfish. How more downhearted can they get? How much more difficult can this time be for them? And here is Peter, turning his back on the last 3 years, going back to what he knows best, to his fishing, and he catches nothing. Peter must have thought about so many things out in that boat, and I wonder what recollections he had. I wonder what events he recalled. And you see, this section brings the first of 3 R's I want us to look at this morning. Recalled. Peter was recalled. But what exactly did he himself recall in his own mind? Did he consider everything that he had done with Jesus these last years? He was still smarting from the crucifixion. He was probably thinking about how he had disowned Jesus and let him down. And here they are, heading back to shore after a night out fishing, and they've caught absolutely zilch. As they approach the shore, the sun is beginning to rise. They see a man on the shore, and the man calls out to them in friendly banter, as you would as you pass by. And he says, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" I wonder what that made them feel like. I would have been a bit annoyed. I get a bit annoyed at things quite easily sometimes. I would have been annoyed. I would have wanted to shout some abuse back to them. But not the disciples. They simply told them the truth. No. Nothing. No. The man calls out to them again. And he says, "Throw your net over the right side of the boat and you will find some." Now come on. Surely this is enough to get fishermen annoyed. Who did this man think he was? And then you begin to think. And I wonder if Peter began to think here as well. Has this not happened somewhere before? Am I not getting a sense of deja vu here? That's where we began at the start of the series, a few weeks back, wasn't it? Some of the disciples, the first ones to meet Jesus, had been out fishing all night. They had caught nothing. They were sitting washing and mending their nets. And what happened? Jesus asked them to push out into the deep water. And he told them to throw their nets over the side. And as they threw their nets over the side, they caught the most amazing haul of fish. Here again, Jesus tells them to do the same. And so they put their net over the side. And they caught. Don't you just love the way John puts some detail in here? 153 fish. Not just one big one, as those fishermen amongst us like to tell us they've caught. But they caught 153 large fish. And one of them in the boat suddenly realizes. They suddenly recall the events in their head. And they recognize Jesus. They say, "It's the Lord." And here's impetuous Peter now. Impetuous to get back to what he did 3 years ago. Now he's impetuous again, and he dives into the water and he wades to the shore. Jesus was back. And Peter would have recalled this story now. And there on the seashore, Jesus has started a fire for them. A coal fire. Charcoal fire. And there were fish on it and some bread. And he says, "Come and have some breakfast." And so they did. And I wonder what recollections Peter had now. Here he was standing beside a fire of burning coals. And the smell must have reached his senses and reminded him of what? Reminded him of another fire. Another fire. Had he not been standing beside a charcoal fire a few short days before in a courtyard? And what happened on that day? Jesus had been arrested. He was in front of the high priest for questioning, and Peter followed and hung out in the courtyard. "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" asked the girl at the door. "Not me," replied Peter, as he headed to the fire for some warmth, and the glow of the fire and the heat and the smell of the charcoal. And someone else says to him, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And again Peter denied it. And as he shuffled around the fire to keep warm, yet another voice pipes up, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" And for the third time, Peter denies it. And then the cock began to crow. And Jesus was led out to be taken to the palace of the Roman governor. And their eyes met. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said and how he had declared he would never disown Jesus. He would never let him down. And Peter realized. And he wept. And as he stood by the fire this morning on the seashore, as Jesus had breakfast prepared for them there, it would all have come flooding back. But Jesus had recalled him. It was Jesus who was on the shore and saw them out fishing. It was Jesus who was on the shore and had called out to them to come and to have breakfast. And Jesus calls all people to come to him and to be saved. Does Jesus need to recall you today? Have you wandered away from God. And although you still come to church, it all means nothing. Is there some sin in your life that's drawn you away from God, and He needs to say to you this morning, come back? Jesus is standing on the shore right now, and He's calling out to you today, come back. Those arms are outstretched. He wants to recall you to Himself. Will you let Him do that? Will you answer His recall? Will you come running back into His arms? Peter did that day, and it was the beginning of something new for him. After he had finished eating, Jesus turned to Peter around the fire, and now He begins the work of restoration and reinstatement. Peter's about to be restored, recalled, and now restored. Simon, son of John, He says in verse 15, do you truly love Me more than these? And I'm guessing here, but Jesus may well have looked around the others around the fire that morning, the other disciples who'd been with Peter in the boat fishing. And as He looks around, He says to Peter, do you love Me more than these? Do you love Me more than these others around the fire? You said you did, but then you denied Me. You've let Me down. Do you love Me more than these others? And of course, Simon Peter says, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. Simon, son of John, says Peter again, says Jesus again, sorry, in verse 16. Do you truly love Me? Do you love Me more than the fishing? Do you love Me more than your family, your friends, your old job? Do you love Me more than anything else in all the world? And Peter says, yes, Lord, You know that I love You. Simon, son of John, verse 17, do you love Me? Do you love Me more than anything else in all of the world? Do you love Me more than you love yourself? Lord, You know all things, says Simon Peter. You know that I love You. And so Simon Peter, that day, is restored to Jesus. His relationship is being sorted out. He is forgiven by Jesus, the one he had let down. And I wonder, during this encounter, if Peter recalled his denial at this point as well. Three times he had denied Jesus, and here three times Jesus asks him if he loves him. Jesus' ministry is one of reconciliation and restoration. But what of the actual words used here? You know how much I love my Greek and think of it as an amazing language, and I've probably told you this before, but I just want to share it again. It's interesting in this passage that Jesus and Peter use different words for love. Different words. We don't get it in our English translations because love is love. But in the Greek, they are different words. Jesus says to Peter, do you truly love Me? Do you agape Me? Agape is an all-embracing love. It's an unconditional love. It's the highest kind of love that you can have for another person. Jesus says, do you love Me with that great and mighty love? And Peter, in his response, says, you know that I love You. You know that I filio You. Filio, a different kind of love. A love that's more akin to a kind of liking almost. I like You. You know that I like You, says Peter. And again, Jesus asks Peter the question, do you agape Me? And again, for the second time, Peter says, Lord, You know that I filio You. I like You. And the third time, Jesus changes it ever so slightly. And He says, Simon Peter, do you filio Me? And Peter says, you know I filio You. Jesus wants Peter's unconditional love. But Peter, possibly feeling guilty after the way he has behaved and the manner in which he's let Jesus down, can only muster up a half-hearted, like kind of love. It's probably all that Peter felt able to say at this point. He was being restored, but the process would take time. The heart and the guilt would take time to heal. Yet Jesus still offers Peter love, both of the filial kind and of the agape kind. And Jesus wants us to be restored as well. Have we fallen away from him? Have we let him down? Have we disowned him at work or at school or around our friends? Have we been too scared to stand up for him? When I first became a Christian at 13, you know this, I've told you before, I didn't really live the Christian life. I was scared, I was afraid of what my family would say, what my friends would say. Would they laugh at me, make fun of me, disown me? When I turned 16, I suddenly realized that none of that was actually important. And the only person that mattered was Jesus. And I had let him down. And at that moment, I asked his forgiveness and he began that work of restoration. Do you need to be restored today? Have you fallen away and are just finding your way back? He wants to recall you. And he wants to restore you. Do you feel that you need to come back? Peter was recalled. And Peter was restored. And finally he was recommissioned. Each time Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And each time Peter responded, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus gave Peter an instruction, a mission, a job to do. The first time he was asked to feed my lambs. Now, I don't know what you know of farming and shepherding, but there are times when a lamb is born that it doesn't know how to eat and to feed. My grandfather was a farmer. One day when I was young, he brought a little lamb down to the house and he sent my mum into the kitchen to find one of our old baby bottles. And she put some milk in it and she heated it up and checked that it was just warm. And that way you do with babies by dabbing it in your elbow or whatever you do these days with milk bottles for babies. And she dabbed it and she checked it was okay. And my grandfather scraped up the lamb in his arms. And he put the bottle with the teat on it to the lamb's mouth. And he sat there and encouraged the lamb. And it took some time. But eventually the lamb began to suck and to take in the milk. Jesus here is telling Peter to begin to look after the lambs in the church. What's a lamb? A lamb is somebody who's young in the faith. Perhaps a child, perhaps somebody older. They cannot understand the Bible fully. Indeed, who amongst us can understand the scriptures fully? And they need to be carefully nurtured. They need to be carefully cared for. Are there new Christians in our midst who we need to help? Then we need to get alongside them. We need to love them and care for them. We need to mentor them. We need to nurture them. We need to meet with them and pray with them and teach them and share with them something of God's word individually. Is that something you can do with some of the younger Christians in our midst? And then the second time Jesus says to Peter, take care of my sheep. And what are sheep like? Well, if you don't know, sheep are prone to wander off and to get lost. Again, when my grandfather had the farm and we were down for holidays, I would get up at 6:45 in the morning with him and we'd wander out in the car and then onto the tractor and out into the field and we'd stand there and we'd count the sheep. I always thought counting sheep was for bedtime when you couldn't sleep. But here was my grandfather counting the sheep in the morning in the field. Why? To make sure that none of them had wandered off. To make sure that none of them had got lost. To make sure that none of them had been attacked or had been caught up somewhere. Sheep wander off. And we are so like sheep, aren't we? We are prone to wander off and get lost. And Jesus tells Peter here that he's got a responsibility to look after the sheep. To stop them from wandering off. And if they do wander off, then we're to encourage them and to bring them back before the wolves out there get them. Other people amongst us struggling with money worries, with job concerns, with ill health, with family problems, with sin in their lives. If there are, then we are to take care of them. To take care of them. And the third time, Jesus asks Peter, and he says to him in verse 17, feed my sheep. Surely sheep know how to feed themselves. We're at that age where we know how to feed ourselves as well, aren't we? Sheep aren't like lambs that need a helping hand. But we do need to help sheep find pastures in which to feed. And I remember again on the farm so often moving sheep from one field down to the other. Why? Because they'd eaten all the grass in that field and they needed fresh grass to eat from. We need to encourage people to be in church week by week. so they can hear the word preached and proclaimed and taught. We need to encourage them to come to Bible studies. We need to encourage them to read their Bible on a regular basis and to pray often. Maybe we could open up our homes. Maybe we could open up our homes and bring a couple or two in and just share with them something about what we've been learning and talk scripture with them. Maybe we have some kind of informal fellowship, a women's study, a men's study, feeding nights, I don't know. But there's a responsibility on each of us to look after the sheep. But you know, we're responsible as well for looking after ourselves and feeding ourselves. People often think the pastor is the shepherd of the flock, and this is certainly true, and it's certainly one of my primary responsibilities to be able to make sure that you're being fed well from God's word. But we're all called to shepherd one another, to care for one another, to look after one another. Peter had his work laid out for him by Jesus. He was called back again to share the love of Jesus, to tell others of the good news of the gospel, to challenge them about their walk and about their lives, and to help them find Jesus. Peter was recalled. He was restored. He was recommissioned. Jesus restored him unto himself following his struggles. Peter wanted to go back to his old way of life, but Jesus helped him recall the good times he had, as well as those life-changing, defining moments when he had failed. And then Jesus restored Peter. He restored him to himself and to the task for which he had called him. And then Jesus recommissioned Peter. He gave him jobs to do. He sent him on his way. And then I find it interesting that in verse 19 we read the words with which Jesus called Peter way back at the start after that first miraculous catch of fish at the beginning of Luke's gospel. He says at the end of verse 19, "Follow me. Follow me." Except this time Jesus uses a tense of the word that literally means keep following, keep on following. Peter has taken his eyes off of Jesus. He stopped following. And here he's been called back. He's been reminded of his first call. And he is to keep following. And that's what Jesus wants from each one of us. He wants us to keep following him. But there's that stage at first. We need to follow him for the first time. And if you're not a believer today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then you need to hear that call from Jesus. He stands with his arms outstretched, ready to recall you to himself. He wants you to come running back. And so if you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked for his forgiveness, if you've never accepted that forgiveness, if you've never turned from your sins and made him Lord of your life, then this morning, the message that says, follow me, means you have to come to him. But maybe this morning, there's been times in our lives and we've failed Jesus. We all sin, every one of us. We all let him down at different points in our life, but we cannot allow that sin to hold us back. That's what the devil tries to do. We cannot allow it. We need to confess our sin and keep following. At times in our lives, though, we have so many struggles, don't we? Loss of loved ones, loss of a job, loss of family members, we've got ill health, we've got job worries, we've got financial worries, there are natural disasters. Hey, there's sin in our lives. The encouragement here for us is to keep following, to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, loved ones, this morning, I simply want to encourage us all, myself included, to keep following. We're all at different stages in our relationship with Jesus, but we are all to keep following. From the seeker yet to accept Christ, to the baby Christian, to the mature Christian of many, many years. And so let's commit afresh today, each and every one of us. Let's commit afresh to Jesus, to remember that he wants us to be in relationship with him, and he wants us to follow him with all of our being. And as we keep following, let's remember that he's given us tasks, jobs, things to do, to lead others to Jesus and to disciple them as well. Let's get on with that and let's keep following. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that it contains so often. We thank you for the encouragement today that you are in the business of restoration.
that you want to call us back to you, even when we fail you, even when we let you down, even when we sin against you. Father God, still you want to bring us back to yourself. And your encouragement to us is to keep following. So Father God, this morning I just pray that you'd work in our hearts and in our lives. And if there are those of us here who don't know you yet, then Lord, I pray that they would just open up the doors and welcome you into their hearts and into their lives. They would crown you as Lord and as Saviour. Lord, for if there are any amongst us here for whom life is tough and difficult and we've kind of wandered away a little bit because of the tough times, because of the sorrow and the pain, then Lord, just help us to remember this morning that you are there recalling us to yourself because you love us and you want us to be in close relationship with you. And Father God, if there are those amongst us this morning who have sinned against you, who have sinned in our lives, which is causing a barrier to you and to our relationship with you just now, then Lord, help us to realize that you long to recall and to restore us. You will forgive us. You will cleanse us and renew us. Lord, help us to take that step afresh today of coming back to you, to keep following. And Lord, for those of us who are following you, help us to be reminded this morning of that great challenge to keep on following through the good times and through the bad, through the quiet times and through the busy times. Lord, to keep on following. Help this word to permeate through our hearts and through our minds as we go through this day and on into this week. Lord, help us to keep following you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering. And the chorus says, I will follow. I will follow. Is that your commitment to Jesus this morning? Let's stand and sing these words together.